Let's pray together. Well, Father, as we embark on a new journey of seeking what is true, we know that you are the only way for us to understand what is true. So, Lord, we come humbly before you and we say, help us. Help us discern what is true and right. Lord, help us to understand what your word teaches and what you've intended us to learn. And help us to be humble enough to receive it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This week we celebrated Friday Night Lights. Some of you may or may not be familiar with that term, but I'm not talking about high school football. I am talking about we put new light bulbs all over our house on Friday. We put LED daylight light bulbs throughout our house and probably spent way too much money on new light bulbs. But you know what? We can see now. We don't have that murky yellow light all over our house. We have daylight light bulbs. My garage light, the ballast, all the light bulbs were out, and I took that down and put up new LED 10-foot long light fixture thingies that have so many lumens that just blows your eyeballs out when you turn it on. And when I turn on the light, you're going to see what's out there. It's fabulous. Now, I don't want to make all of you jealous, but you should all do this because seeing is fantastic. Seeing at night, it is fantastic. And seeing things for what the real color is fantastic. And not this murky, yellow, weird light that I told Allison. I said, how did we live all these years in this house with everything the wrong color? What is wrong with us? I hope that's something to speak to us in a bigger than physical way. Because when you make the connection to spiritual light being shed upon things, can you imagine, Granny? Can you imagine Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. Y'all been seeing murky yellow your whole life, but here I am. You want to know what it looks like? I'm going to tell you what it looks like. And Jesus shows up and turns everything that's kind of close into exactly what he's intended it to be. This is the transformation that Jesus Christ our Lord brought when he came and said, I'm the light. I'm not changing what's there. I'm showing you what is there and how it's true. Now, as Christians, we get information every single day. We perceive things every single day. We understand that things happen and things go on, and as we do that, we make decisions every single day on who we trust, on what is right and what is wrong. And I want to ask you the question is, and it is this, what is your light? What is your light? What is it by which you judge everything around you? What helps you see things as they are? Case in point, when something happens in the world news, you're going to have sources trying to tell you this is what happened. Which source do you turn on? Who do you believe? Because as you all know, as adults in here, people spin things to fit oftentimes agendas for you to believe and perceive what happened. Now, what does that mean for me? And I'm here to tell you that you're getting someone's opinion based on what happens. And we as Christians have to know how to filter through opinions and understand what is true. And it's not just in world news, it's in reading the scripture. And as Barry and I were discussing after Sunday school class this morning, reading the same verses, people have different opinions. What is true? How do we know what's true? How do we shape our minds to comprehend how to understand even the Bible? And I can tell you, oftentimes I go to authors that I have learned to trust. And you do too. Some of you, I'm one of those people that you trust. Some of those, your Sunday school teacher is one of those who you trust. Some of you listen to radio stations while you're driving, and you've learned to trust certain voices. Some of you have authors that you trust. And I will present to you that there are a lot of good Christian authors out there. They don't all agree. And some of them, I think, are very pure in their beliefs. And some of them are very impure in their beliefs. We have to know who's being pure and who's not. You turn on the TV, you might see somebody on TV. Do you trust that person because they use the word God? Are they talking about the same God you're talking about? We navigate through a life in which so many truth claims are made to us. We live in a culture where fake news and altered news is a staple every day for us. How do you know what is true? How do you know? I'm not answering that question for you today. It's going to take about a year. How do you know what is true? We're going to walk through that this year. How do we know? How do we test the spirits, as the scripture would teach you? Test the spirits and cling to what is true. How do we test things? And once we test it, how do we cling? Now, in addition, in our year-long process of trying to discern what is true, the next question is going to be, what then do you do with what is true? Do you say, oh, okay, and move on to other things? Do you treasure that truth? Do you share that truth? What do you do with the truth that you have learned and that you have come to believe, and you do say, well, this is right, I believe. And as we sing from our church, as we read hymns week by week, and truths are being told to us and we are proclaiming them, how do we know that our God is three in one? Because a lot of people that go to church and are sitting in church right now don't believe that. Why do you believe that? This year, we seek to discern what truth is. If you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open up to John chapter 18. We're going to walk through a classic passage in Scripture dealing with Jesus' encounter with Pilate, Pontius Pilate, who was a civil leader during that day, someone who was in charge of, like a governor, if we could say, or governor of Louisiana. He was governor over an area. He was a powerful man. And Jesus has dialogue with him. And as you're turning there, let me give you an illustration this week of an event that happened. And you understand, a person from Iran was killed. His name was Soleimani, I think. I don't know how to say it, but it's Soleimani was killed, right? The truth is, he was killed. And most of the things that you heard this week, beyond that, something that you heard might have been true. But depending on what network or what author or what journalist that you read, you got a different view of that story. Guaranteed. I read them all. Your question after listening to different journalists, and I encourage you, don't listen to one news source. Please, don't. You're putting yourself in a hole and you're getting into trouble. Don't listen to one journalist. Listen to people and then ask yourself the question that Pontius Pilate asked at the end of this. And I read it early this morning. And what was his question? What is truth? What is truth? John chapter 18. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Why did Jesus start in his conversation? "So you are a king," Pilate asked him. And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is redirecting to say, what we're seeing here is not ultimate. It's not the ultimate true reality. It's here, we understand it, but it's not the preeminent thing. It's not the most important thing. And Jesus is being able to direct conversation bigger than the situation that he's in. My kingdom's not his world. And then he gives Pilate this striking statement. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." Jesus Christ, the most important historical figure ever to walk this earth, makes this statement. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." What is that purpose? The most important historical figure ever to walk the face of the earth says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came." What is it? So if I were to ask you, as we discussed in the Truth Project, what was the purpose that Jesus came? And his answer that he gave Pilate was to bear witness to the truth. Now, that's not to say that him coming and living perfectly was not his purpose. And that's not to say that him dying for our sin was not his purpose. That's not to say that him being buried and rising again was not his purpose. It is to say, when Jesus came, he said all of those things wraps up into something big. And something that matters from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. And what Jesus is saying matters is what, church? The truth. The truth matters. Why do you think that our country spends billions of dollars a year trying to convince you of things that aren't true? Have you thought about that? Why does Fox or CNN care about what I think? Why does Church X or Church Y care about what I think? Why do Pampers or Huggies care about what I think? Because the truth is vital. It is vital to your day by day, hour by hour decisions that you make. Will you invest your money into Pampers or into Huggies? Will you watch my commercials or their commercials? Will you go to Walmart or Target? And the decisions that you make matter. And Jesus is making the great claim that the truth matters. This is massive. And may I speak to you one-on-one here for a moment? What you believe matters. And your life is shaped by the things that you believe. Right, Marie? We watched a training video last Sunday night on inappropriate behavior. Didn't we? And do you remember the first thing the guy opened up with? You know what he said? What you believe influences what you do. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. So, Christian, what you believe influences what you do. And this is why Jesus comes and he says, for this reason I've come, to bear witness to the truth. And the truth is, Jesus saves. The truth is, Jesus is perfect. The truth is that Jesus died for sinners such as you. The truth is, you can repent and be saved. The truth is, you can become a Christian and by faith trust the Word of God and give your life to Him. These things are true. There are two ideas, if you're taking notes this morning, two ideas that I think are primary for today's introduction. And those two ideas are these, and they're found in verse 37. So if you'll leave that up there, Mr. Craig. The first idea that I want to communicate to you this morning is Jesus came to be a witness of truth. Jesus came to be a witness of truth. And the second idea is everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus' voice. Everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus' voice. These are two massive thoughts. Let's jump into both of those. I encourage you to patiently walk through this study this year. I do believe this can be a year of transformation for folks. I believe this can be a year in which our minds are transformed into minds that know how to discern the truth from a lie, how to discern right from wrong, and how to make better decisions as a people. I truly believe this can be a transforming year in the life of our church and in the life of you. Because your mind is a battlefield. It is a transforming machine that we have to get in shape and to get where we need to be. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, and Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our world divides over many truth claims, as we've already discussed. Some believe in Darwin. Some believe in politics and political activism. Others believe their financial advisor when they say everything's going to be okay if you just trust me. Christians believe Jesus. Thank you, Hilton. Christians believe Jesus. And this is where it hinges. This is where you are defined. You are defined. Your identity is given on, do you believe the words of Jesus? You don't have to be a hero of the faith. You don't have to be a preacher or a missionary. You don't have to be a faithful church attender to understand that a Christian believes in Jesus. And the Christian believing in Jesus, that when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, begins to define what your life looks like and what happens to you. Christians believe Jesus. And the world as a whole disagrees with Jesus. And the world has several different tactics to disagree with you if you agree with Jesus. And one of those is to say, oh yeah, you believe in Jesus, I do too. We're the same. And we know that Jesus would never do this because he's so loving and he wants us to do whatever we want to do. And in that moment, what happens is Jesus is redefined, and it's not the true Jesus that you believe. Anybody had anybody walk up, someone walk up to your door and say, "Oh, you're a Christian, I am too. We're just a little different flavor Christian." Yeah. You are a different flavor. And the flavor is not trusting the Word of God flavor. And we have to be able to discern, well, the world wants us to believe in this other version of Jesus, whereas the Bible teaches this version of Jesus. The next question is, well, who's interpreting it right then? You or me? And what's the answer? The Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one who can interpret the Word of God right. And it is our job to seek His face and to do our due diligence to say, Spirit of God, what is true and what is right? And for us to use the brain that God gave us to say, well, this logically doesn't line up. So this can't be true. And I'm not to say that doesn't discount miracles. No. But God made logic. And God made laws of nature. And God made these things. So we can't have fallacies running what we decide is true and false. The world does not like the Bible. I shared with our Sunday school class this morning, and I'll read a quote from a news site called Discern. It says, Islamic Fulani militia continue to engage in aggressive and strategic land grabbing. They attack rural villages, force villagers, and this is in the country of Nigeria, for context. They attack rural villages, force villagers off their lands, and settle in their place. A strategy that is epitomized by the phrase, your land or your blood. Islamic terrorist group Boko Haram has vowed to kill every Christian they encounter. They have displaced hundreds of thousands of people in Nigeria. This group, it has also been reported that approximately 6,000 Christians have been killed since 2015. 6,000 Christians. So for every 1,000 Christians, that's 10 of our church-ish that are meeting right now. 6,000 would be 60. Imagine 60 of our churches, everyone killed because they're Christian. 12,000, another 12,000 have been displaced from their villages. Why? Because they believe Jesus. Does the truth matter? Does Christianity matter? It certainly does. And here are a group of 18,000 people just in Nigeria who can read the scripture. So how much better to get wisdom than gold? To gain understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. People who believe knowing what is true is more important than breathing or having a home. So Christian, I ask you again, does truth matter? It matters to the people in Nigeria who are unwilling to say, no, I don't believe in Jesus, and keep their house or keep breathing. It matters to them. Does it matter to you? But we have a different enemy here, don't we? It's not people walking around with guns, walking into our house. It's the cell phone. It's the guy on TV, or the movie we want to watch, or the sports team, or the relationship, or the comfort that draws us away and says, well, maybe Jesus doesn't really like this. Or maybe Jesus really doesn't want me to be faithful or want me to be a part of church or want me to serve people. Or maybe Jesus doesn't really matter if I'm sober or clean. and the battle comes. Romans 12:2 says this. Again, this is under the first point, that Jesus came to be a witness of the truth. Why did he? Why did Jesus come to be a witness of the truth? One of the reasons was so that we could be witnesses to the truth when he is no longer here. In Nigeria, for instance. How about in Plaquemine? Are we being witnesses of the truth in Plaquemine? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world. Hey, witness. I shared in my Sunday school class. Do you know the Greek word for witness? If you read your Bible, you see the word in your Bible, it says witness. You know what the word that translates to witness is? Somebody in my class, help me out. What is it? Martyr. It's the word for witness. Martyr. Martyrs are witnesses to the truth. Jesus called us to be witnesses of the resurrection. He called the apostles to be witnesses of the resurrection, Acts chapter 1. By extension, we are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, the church. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How are we transformed as Christians? How are we different? How are we not conformed to the world? How does that work? It's right there in the verse. How does it work, church? The renewal of the mind. It's making new our mind. Like I have shared this. I hope that if you haven't heard me say it, please hear. I want one of the things that when I'm dead and gone, that we remember and that generations coming up. So young people, y'all remember this and pass this on when I'm dead and gone. Pass this on. Christianity is a very cerebral, it's a very mind-inclusive religion. I heard growing up that weak people became Christians because they just believed stuff and they didn't think through things. Up until 200 years ago, the greatest scientists of all were all Christians. They were understanding what God was doing and that they were proclaiming what God has made. Christianity is a transformation of the mind to say, I believe the lies of the world. Now I'm believing what the Lord has given me, what's true. The renewal of the mind, going from a world dominated by falsehoods to a world dominated to go, oh, this is true. This is right. This is what God has. And it doesn't just stop there. Your mind is renewed. And keep reading in the verse. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by your mind being renewed. That by testing, you may do what?
Discern.
NIV says it like this. It says, so that you might be able to discern. That by testing, when your mind is renewed and your mind is being brought over to biblical truths, then you can do what, church? Then you can discern. A massive part of your Christian life is discerning based on the renewal of your mind. A massive part. How do I use my body? What do I need to use my body for? I had a very... a conversation with some of our teenagers this week. Difficult one. In dating relationships, how do we define how we relate to a boyfriend or girlfriend physically? Should we kiss our boyfriend, our girlfriend? Should we hold hands? And y'all have all been through that idea. What do we do? And what does the Bible say? Your body's not your own. Your body is the Lord's. And when you get married, your body is your husband's and your wife's. So no. The truth is that if you're not married, and might be one day, your body is for your spouse. You know that now. That's driven by what the Bible teaches. What does the world teach? Well, if it feels good, do it. It's very simple. Those are two very opposed ways of thinking. And that's just one simple thing that came up this week. The Bible guides us in our decisions that we make every day. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern. Your mind is testing based through the grid of biblical truth. What is the will of God? What's the desire of God? What's the desire of God? What should I do? What is good? What's acceptable? What is perfect? So, young minds, I want y'all to be thinking. The decisions you make are based on what you believe. The decisions you make are based on what you believe. What kind of clothes do you wear? It's based on what you believe. I'm wearing a purple shirt and a gold tie today. Any guesses? What do I believe? What you believe is crucial. I spend a lot of time, I know, working through scripture, working through ideas, questioning ideas, trying to connect dots certain places. I try to do that with you on Sunday mornings and in class with you. One of my great passions is equipping people with the truth of God's word so that you can make good decisions. So that you can discern what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect. This year, I hope that we walk through some of this together. I hope that we use our time together to say, what is true? And as Pilate asked that question, we can echo that question. But also come to some answers and be able to be the second part of that verse we looked at earlier. Everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus' voice. We're not going to break that one out today because I've rambled on more than I should have. But everyone who's of the truth listens to Jesus' voice. And so I want to invite you this morning, if you have been listening to voices that are not of the Lord Jesus, I invite you to respond to his voice this morning. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they do what? They follow me. There are a lot of voices out there in the world for you to listen to. If you have a radio in your car, when I was growing up, I got my 72 Volkswagen Beetle. That was my first car. Yes, I'm a Beetle man too, Jimmy. And I had this radio, and it didn't have a whole bunch of buttons. You know what it had? A volume knob and a tuner knob. Kind of like we got in the car. We got in an old car one day, and there were these things on the windows, and I rolled the window down, and my kids went, "Oh, that's so cool! You rolled the window down." They had never in their life had any idea that you could roll a window down. Well, you know what you used to be able to do too? You used to turn a dial on a radio and you'd go, quick, 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 yeah. And if you got to the right station, you would hear a song. And if you didn't like that song, you had to make the decision. Do I want to turn the dial and find the other station or just endure this song? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because if I get off, it might be staticky. I might not get it perfectly on the dial. And so I'll just listen to the song I really don't like because it's not worth it. Then they created those buttons you could press that would bring your dial right to the right station. There's a lot of music out there. But the frequency you're dialed into is what you hear. The frequency that you dial into is what you hear. And I'm here to say, hey church, there are a lot of voices out there. They want you to trust them. Babylon Bee says it so well. Your trusted source for fake news. I just love it. So who are you dialing into? Who are you dialing into? Let's begin a trek together of fine-tuning our dial to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because His is not the loudest. His is not the most accessible on the dial. In fact, He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but hard and narrow is the truth. But when you hear His voice, you know it. If you are of the truth, you listen to His voice. If you're here this morning and you've never responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never repented of your sin and trusted in the Savior who died, was buried and raised to give you new life, I invite you to come and bow your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge you one day. And either He will find you guilty, but you will be covered by His blood, or guilty of your own blood. Maybe today you need to respond to Him. Maybe today you need to say, I need some time to figure this stuff out a little bit better. I've got a lot of voices in my life, and there are some stations I need to get away from. Maybe that's you. I don't know where you are this morning, but I ask you to respond, to hear the voice of Jesus, and not only to be willing to hear, but be willing to be transformed. And be willing to let your mind learn how to discern the truth so that you might test and approve what is good, what is perfect, and what is acceptable in God's sight. Let's pray together. Oh, our Lord, help us on this trek in 2020 to see the truth and to see it clearly. Lord, we are fallible. We are gullible. We recognize that we are easily convinced of a lie too many times. Guard us by your Spirit, we pray. Lead us into the truth, Lord, and we know that your word is truth. So lead us into your word. And we pray that you transform us by the renewing of our minds that we might be able to discern what is good, acceptable, and perfect in your sight. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.